Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. As I've been saying over the last week or two, our website is new. I think you want to take a look at it and see how many things that you can access that will help you to grow in your own faith. We've got videos, we've got materials that you can link to, we've got just all kinds of things available for you. And I just want to encourage you to go to our website, renewalministries.net. It's also a site where my program and Peter Herbeck's program, Peter's Fire on the Earth, and my program, Food for the Journey, are archived there as well as they are at the radio stations. But you can access it through our website as well. Just want to encourage you. Many times people say, oh, I wish I had heard this, or I wish I had had a pencil or a pen to write this down. Well, if you're listening to it on radio, you can always go to the website, either of the radio station or of Renewal Ministries for Peter's program and my program, and you can re-listen to it as often as you want or download it. So just want to encourage you to take advantage of the website. Also want to say to you that I will be offering and am offering this past week, I think you heard, I have a new booklet. And I want you to experience two things. The old booklet that you've heard and that is available to you, Captured by Mercy, discusses and deals with the problem of unforgiveness. That unforgiveness in our hearts makes it very difficult, if at all, to be able to receive mercy. And it's certainly when we're withholding forgiveness in a major way from someone, it affects us spiritually to be able to offer forgiveness to other people or to receive forgiveness from other people. So unforgiveness cripples us. And it can cripple us in the sense that it can cause us to the light to grow dim between ourselves and Christ. In this year of mercy, really encourage you, if you've never read, the book has been out several years, but the booklet entitled Captured by Mercy, but that's one that's available to you. The one that's offered free right now is a new booklet of mine. It's Repentance, the need to repent in order to experience the mercy of God. The mercy of God is readily available, but it does require of us. It requires of us, this should make sense to you, it requires of us a willingness to say, I'm sorry, and to really say that to the Lord, to really confess that in the sacrament of reconciliation. But once done, His mercy, especially in this year of mercy, can wipe the slate clean for you. Please take advantage of it. This new booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy of Repentance. The Mercy of God and the Joy of Repentance. And you can call the 800 number at the end of the program and you'll receive a free copy of it. But I want you to experience not only the forgiveness of God, but I want you to experience the joy. Our world, it does not have much joy. It has some hilarity. There are some things that make us smile, there are some things that make us laugh, but that deep, deep abiding joy that permeates every pore of our being and affects everything we do, we're pretty short on genuine joy. So I encourage you to read my booklet and learn how repentance can lead to the kind of joy that God says it will abide forever. Today, we look at the first book of Kings, chapter 8, verses 1 to 7 and 9 to 13. The elders of Israel and all the leaders of the tribes, the princes in the ancestral houses of the children of Israel, came to King Solomon in Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord's covenant from the city of David, which is Zion. All the people of Israel assembled before King Solomon during the festival in the month of Ethanim, the seventh month, when all the elders of Israel had arrived. The priests took up the ark. They carried the ark of the Lord and the meeting tent with all the sacred vessels that were in the tent. the priests and the Levites carried them. King Solomon and the entire community of Israel present for the occasion sacrificed before the ark sheep and oxen, too many to number or count. The priest brought the ark of the covenant of the Lord to its place beneath the wings of the cherubim in the sanctuary, the holy of holies of the temple. And the cherubim had their wings spread out over the place of the ark, sheltering the ark and its poles from above. There was nothing in the ark but the two stone tablets which Moses had put there at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel at their departure from the land of Egypt. And when the priests left the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord so that the priests could no longer minister because of the cloud, since the Lord's glory had filled the temple of the Lord. What is the cloud? It is the Holy Spirit. There was revealed to them the presence of God. They did not yet understand it all, but there was revealed to them the presence of God in such a way that the priests could no longer minister because of the cloud. Perhaps they couldn't see. Perhaps they were overcome with awe and they could not do anything. There are many reasons, but they were, in a sense, just almost stopped in their tracks by the power and the splendor and the majesty of God. Because the people were overjoyed that they had this opportunity. They had this opportunity to worship Him. How much do we worship Him? How much do we honestly worship Him? Or do we just mouth the words of the Psalms? Do we bow down in adoration? Do we kneel at times? Do we prostrate ourselves before the Lord? Do we praise Him and thank Him for creation? Do we praise and thank Him for bringing us into the world? Do we give Him the glory that belongs to Him, not just because of what He gives us, but because of who He is, the Father and the Savior of the whole world? How often do we genuinely worship? When the priests left the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord so that the priests could no longer minister because of the cloud, since the Lord's glory had filled the temple of the Lord. And then Solomon said, "The Lord intends to dwell in the dark clouds. I have truly built you a princely house, a dwelling where you may abide forever." David wanted to build a house for the Lord, and the Lord said, "No, your son shall." And Solomon does. "Lord, go up to the place of your rest." Brothers and sisters, I was just thinking of myself about this area the other day, and I was thinking how often I step into the chapel in our house, in our mother house. How often I step into the courts of the Lord in chapels and basilicas and very small, very simple places of worship and then some absolutely glorious places of worship. But it doesn't, in one level, it doesn't matter because God is present in the Eucharist. How much do I acknowledge that? Do I walk into Mass while I'm talking to somebody? Do I make a hasty sign of the cross and, you know, dab my hand in the holy water, but I'm not really paying attention into whose presence I am coming, and I don't pay attention to actually entering into the courts of the Lord, the courts that surround every chapel, every church, the heavens, the cherubim and the seraphim, constantly worshiping God. I'm entering into that. I'm entering into a worship that is going on all the time. How conscious am I of that? Do I treat it just like walking into any auditorium or any large room? Do I just continue on my way as though I were just in my ordinary setting of life? When I walk into the chapel, to the church, I walk into the courts of the Lord. It can be a small, simple, humble chapel, but all courts of heaven surround the presence of the Lord and bow down in worship.
Do I do that?
Am I aware of that? I need to be. Perhaps that is something you really want to take a look at for Lent. Maybe you want to create for yourself a much deeper sense of the presence of the Lord. And this is one of the ways to do it. Think about it. The gospel is taken from the Gospel of Mark. After making the crossing to the other side of the sea, Jesus and his disciples came to land at Gennesaret and tied up there. As they were leaving the boat, people immediately recognized him. They scurried about the surrounding country and began to bring in the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. You can imagine the commotion, can't you, and the tumult. Poor little villages, but here was the one who had brought healing to so-and-so. Here was the one who had preached the word like they had never heard before. Here was the one who cared for the poor. And they just came from every angle. Whatever villages or towns or countryside he entered, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch only the tassel on his cloak. And as many as touched it were healed. It's not a magic cloak, brothers and sisters. It was simple, simple faith. It's called exercising faith. It's not the kind of faith we need to exercise because in one sense they saw, but in another sense they didn't fully recognize him. Many of them didn't recognize him at all. But people who came to him with genuine faith, and it's the same today, people who came to him with genuine faith, reaching out to touch even the tassel of his cloak, he heard them. And he answered them. What Jesus is looking for from us, brothers and sisters, is true worship. True worship. Worship that comes from the heart, not just going through the motions, not just saying the words, and you don't remember after Mass what words you said. It means with attentiveness, offering the Lord the worship that belongs to him, the thanksgiving that belongs to him, the honor that should be his from our heart. Our words might be simple. Our songs we might not even be able to sing in tune. That doesn't matter. When our prayer sincerely made, our worship sincerely given, is offered before the throne of God, it is drawn up into the clouds, so to speak. It's drawn up into the majesty and the glory and the splendor of God. Your prayer, your praise, your worship. So I really want to encourage you. Please take a look at the way you worship, especially internally. How do you turn your body, your mind, your heart, your spirit to genuine worship of God at Mass, stopping in for a visit, whatever. Worship him in spirit and in truth. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.